Welcome to the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Strangers. To boldly say what needs to be said.
Would you be a stranger or an alien? Or would you be a strange alien?
The truth is out there. I am your father's best friend, Plumber. Superman.
Wonder Woman.
Heroes. Villains. Captain Picard versus Captain Kirk.
Do you think that there's room in sci-fi for God? The very first thing that God did,
so wise you are,
was that he created something, so we have a creative God.
This is Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Strangers and Aliens Podcast. And we are here, we are the three sci-fi guys. I'm Ben, and with me are, we'll start with Dr. Jace.
Hello everyone.
And then we also have Steve.
Hi everybody.
Hey Ben, do you think that now that if they're listening to this episode, that now we can refer to our listeners as strange and aliens? So like, welcome strangers and aliens.
Yeah, sure. You want to do that?
I don't know. I'm just thinking.
Just saying, go ahead and do that if you want.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, welcome strangers and aliens.
Hey, you took his line,
and,
Steve.
And or aliens.
Oh boy. Steve. Plagiarism. Dr. Jace was going to say that.
Plagiarism.
I thought that we were going to totally avoid any like awkward toe-stepping.
I put a slash by and me an or saying... in there. I made it my own. I put a slash and an or in there. Instead of strangers and aliens, I put strangers and or aliens.
Yeah, that's not going to hold up in, you know, what, plagiarism court? Thank you.
Plagiarism court.
Ben, stick to writing.
Yeah. I write so what you know, right?
It wouldn't be right if we didn't have an opening where people weren't stepping on each other's toes. What would
that's
that right. be like?
That's true. That's very That'd true. Strange. It would be actually listening.
It'd be alien.
Strange and alien.
Yeah. Nice. Very yeah. good. I saw what you did there. That was good.
Yeah.
All right. So, hey, Dr. Jace. It's Monday night. We're recording Monday night. I'm not sure when we're going to post this, but I just got done watching the latest episode of Alcatraz.
Yeah.
I was wondering, are you watching that show?
I am watching it, but, you know, it airs on Fox,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm always a little hesitant with Fox because Fox always cancels my favorite shows, including part of what we're talking about today is, and I'm going to get this, I guess I'll just get it started.
Go for it.
One of my favorite shows, which I'm sure if people are listening to the podcast, many of them would agree, that I still have not forgotten Fox for. And I have to be honest, I do look at Fox differently because they canceled Firefly.
Yes.
And Firefly is perhaps, other than the original Star Trek, I think the best show that's ever been canceled way too early.
Which is our topic of the day. Our topic du jour, as somebody who spoke both English and French at the same time would say. Because I don't know the French word for topic, but...
dia. El topico del dia.
Yes. Whatever that was that you just did, yes.
I think he just swore in pig Latin.
I think actually he did some backwards masking here. If we play this backwards, it's going to say... He's going to say our topic name, which is...
Thank you, Steve. He just complimented me. He said that my Star Wars list was better than his. Anyways.
I don't know why he would say that, but he said it backwards, so maybe there's some sort of metaphysical reasoning there. But...
Since I said it backwards, it cancels it out.
So our topic today, moving on, and
is
totally
Steve
stepping on your
up?
Toes. Our topic today is TV shows that were canceled too soon, at least in our opinion. Maybe not in the opinions of the people who canceled it. But TV shows are canceled too soon, and Firefly is, I think, one of the go-to TV shows that people go to. However, you know, I'm in a different position with Firefly. I only saw one or two episodes when it was airing because I couldn't catch it because of one of the problems that it faced. It was, you know, they moved around on the schedule and everything, and I thought it was neat, but I couldn't get into it. So when I went to watch it, I actually bought the DVD set. Watched all episodes right in a row, and then went on and watched the movie right afterward.
Yeah,
and I got a nice, concise little story.
Yeah, well, but that's the thing is that I would have liked 7 years of concise, really good story instead of 14 episodes in a movie. Because, I mean, Fox does this all the time. They did this with another show that was one of my favorites. It's not quite what we're talking about, but The Human Shield, which is Ventures on Sci-Fi, because half the stuff that they... No, I'm sorry, The Human Target.
Human Target, yeah. Which is based on a DC comic. So yeah. We'll take it as sci-fi.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, it was so well done. And Fox does that a lot. It's like they want to self-destruct. They put these TV shows, they change the schedule so no one can follow them. And I think that had Firefly been around during the DVR days, I think Firefly would have stayed around. Because you're right. When I could never find it. When I was trying to find the show, they moved it around so much. So
well, VCRs were still around then.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I guess if they change that, but
yeah, but if they change the schedule, it's not like a DVR where you can just DVR a show and it will find it whatever time it's on.
Well, that's just it. I mean, unless you were like a diehard fan, you weren't scouring the TV listings, and that's what happens is they just they moved it around, and you couldn't track it, you couldn't follow it. It didn't matter to me at the time because I really wasn't into it. But now, I love that show. I love those characters.
If there was one show that I hoped got the Star Trek original series treatment, it would be Firefly. Meaning that, you know, the original series didn't do so well. They did a movie. It did reasonably okay. And then they do seven more movies or, you know, because, it's a Western sci-fi. It's so cool. It's different than many of the other sci-fis that's out there. The cast was great. I mean, Adam Baldwin, his character is one of – him and Mal were two of my favorite characters of all sci-fis because, they were fun.
Yeah, but almost all of the characters
were great.
I mean, Shepard.
Yes.
I can't remember the other characters' names.
River
and her brother. I mean, they had some serious cool backstories.
The married couple there, Wash and forget what their name is, but they're very cool.
So
the way they pitched the show was 9 people looking out to space and seeing very different things or something like that. And it was true that each of these characters had a completely different worldview.
Oh yeah,
and it was very interesting.
Yeah, even the characters like the brother and sister, completely different. You know, the couple, completely different. You know, you had two characters who you would think would get along really well with Mal and Jane. You know, because they seem like, you know, at first glance, just, you know, two grizzled guys out there, you know, looking for a buck. But at the same time, they're completely different characters. So yeah, it just a really interesting study in character design and character use, you know, just using different archetypes in different ways and putting them together.
So we could honestly, and probably will, we could do an episode just about Firefly because there's a lot of meat to that. The bottom line is, this is the case study that people can go to.
For you guys, does Firefly come into the top 5 shows that were canceled too early that you would like to see back in some form or another, or does it not make your list at all?
I'll tell you, it would make my list of being canceled, but it doesn't make my list of wanting to see more. And that's because for me, I got to see it as, you know, as a novel. You know, I got to see the beginning and I got to see the end, and it was all in one string for me.
So you wouldn't want to see more in that galaxy, more in that world?
I'd like to, but I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with what I got.
I understand that. I understand his viewpoint. But at the same time, it could have been much cooler as well. I mean, if they had, you know, 7 seasons, 9 seasons to stretch it out.
Well, and we'll come to this, but would it have worn out its welcome? I mean, that's the other question.
That too.
Would it have worn out its welcome with the, you know, gotten just old and feel kind of tired? And
maybe in season 5 and 6, but you know what? There's still that golden, you know, 2 or 3 episodes in season 7 that would have been worth the wait.
Yeah. And then you've got your brilliant season 3 and 4.
Oh, man. I couldn't believe how much. If they had gotten there,
that would be pretty cool.
How much character development and plot depth they got into.
Are we talking about
missing about season 3 and 4.
Are we talking about Next Generation or what?
Well, in some ways we are. I mean, there is a lot of TV shows that, you know, when they make it to season 3 and 4, it just gets brilliant because the people know the characters.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get past that and you start going over old episodes that you've already done before and trying to figure out how can we do this, even though we've done it before, how can we do it a little bit differently?
Yeah.
And then you get into season 7, which just gets
silly.
It just gets silly, but then there's just those moments of craziness.
Cousin
that are...
Oliver jumping the shark.
Yeah.
Jumping the shark, you get like the Happy Days where the fawn starts jumping the shark. But
yeah, so I was just going to ask you, Dr. Jace. We use Firefly as kind of our case study. But what about you with other shows? Are there any other shows that you can think of? And I know that you and I are both thinking of one of the same ones.
Well, it has to be Star Trek: The Original Series 1. I mean, that was the original one that got – most people don't realize it was only on the air, what, 3 seasons?
It was on the air 3 seasons, and it was almost canceled every season it was on.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a show that I think I would love to have seen the stories they would have told in the 7 seasons. Because, yes, of course, we got the movies, which most of them are good. Not all of them are good. Most of them are good.
We not only got that. I mean, we did get a season 4 and 5 and a, or at least in like a half season with the cartoon. Yeah. And the cartoon is, there's some really good episodes, but there's some episodes that you're just like, how did this happen? How did this get past the people who are making decisions?
Yeah.
Well, and the fact that, that Scotty did the majority of the voices.
Yeah, there,
like
exactly.
Two people, everybody that wasn't one of the main cast members. That wasn't, Chekhov, he wasn't in the...
Yeah, he didn't get in. He wrote an episode, though. And if you know, there's all the whole discussion, the fan discussions about canon. If this animated series is considered canon, as far as, like, it really is part of that universe, that means somewhere out there, from Walter Koenig's episode, Mr. Chekhov's episode, somewhere out there, there is a 75-foot Vulcan...
Yeah,
clone of Mr. Spock floating around. but you also got an episode that was written by one of the original Star Trek writers, DC Fontana. I can't remember the name of the episode now, but it's about Spock's backstory.
Yeah,
and it really it's interesting because they use some of that storyline in the new Star Trek movie that they just had with how Spock was treated by his fellow Vulcans and stuff. And but you're right, Dr. Jace. I think it was canceled too soon. On the flip side, because it was canceled the way it was, I think that the fandom might even be more, at the time, more loyal to the show.
This is what I'm hoping happens with Firefly. I want Firefly conventions. I want people dressed up like Mao.
Yeah.
I want them to come out with more movies. Even if they're, I don't even care if they're made directly for television. Make them run for sci-fi channel. I don't care. I love Westerns and I love sci-fi and it was the perfect blend. If there wasn't copyright issues, I would make sure neither of you guys talked while I played the full version of the opening credit.
Oh, it's a great theme song.
We could
song
sing
too.
It.
That's the, no. I, no.
We've tried that before, Steve. Please don't sing again.
Hold on, give me, what is it? It's in the key of D,
if
right?
You're going to sing that, then I'm going to start singing the love theme from Star Trek The Motion Picture. And you do not want that to happen.
Okay, I'm going to sing B. Arthur's Antina song from the holiday special.
So, Steve, any certain shows for you that just really spring to mind when you think about this kind of thing?
Yes, I put a list together of about 80 of them, and I'm going to try to sing them all in my breath. Ready? Lone Gunman, Greatest American Hero.
No.
Steve, what? Are any of them ones that we've heard of? That's one thing I want to know.
Yes, you've heard of a lot of these. And let me just say, okay, if I had to pick 5 that were more to me than Firefly, and I'm not trying to talk anyone down from the ledge of Firefly. If you really wanted Firefly to come back and that's your number one, fine. I understand. That's good. But for me, if I had to pick 5, if I could get 5 back on the thing there, I think it would be, it's a cartoon. It was a Saturday morning cartoon. I forgot which day it was on. Galaxy High, and it lasted about one season. And it was just it was a lot of fun. It was goofy, and there was a lot of crazy stuff. And
Galaxy High, Steve. Galaxy High.
Okay, yeah. you're not talking me off the ledge of Firefly with Galaxy High, Steve.
No, I don't. I don't think I'm not gonna try. I'm just saying, just for me, this is Galaxy High.
I think probably only you,
only me,
in the entire galaxy.
I would like to have seen the greatest American hero go on and do much more than it did. And in fact, I think it was just the last season. I mean, wow. But anyway, boy, talk about jumping the shark. Misfits of Science, which was sort of like...
I do remember that show. That was a lot of fun.
Almost like an X-Men type of a feel to it. And it was when you know, in the 80s, you didn't have too much on TV that had anything to do with superheroes after The Greatest American Hero.
Yeah.
And then you had this Misfits of Science and what's her name? The big name girl that was on.
Courtney Cox.
Was it Courtney Cox? I thought it was the girl that was in Breakfast Club.
Ally Sheedy?
Wasn't it Ally Sheedy?
Well, but Courtney Cox was in the show.
Okay, it was Courtney Cox, yeah.
Because she played the...
For some reason, I thought it was Ally Sheedy. She
was the telekinetic girl, I think.
Yes.
Okay, everybody under the age of blah, 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 just fell asleep.
Yes, I know.
It was a very much a product of the 80s, and it was very... It was just fun because you just had these young guys and girl who mm-hmm. had these superpowers, and they were just doing their thing, you know? And it wasn't like... They weren't X-Men. They didn't have costumes or anything like that.
Right.
However, Steve, as much as I enjoyed it, I don't think it was good enough for it to merit being continued.
If it had been good enough and had been able to outlast a couple of seasons, I think I would have really enjoyed to watch it. Another one, for more modern listeners, for more modern people here, Tick. I think they really did a really good job taking the cartoon and putting it into live action.
That was pretty good.
There were a couple of things which I won't go into, but I had quibbles about it. But at the same time, it was a lot of fun. They did a really good job.
I actually got my wife to watch that show.
Fantastic.
It's very funny.
Because of Patrick, my wife was willing to watch it with me because she was a huge Seinfeld fan. Yeah. And I was like, hey, it's like a cross between Seinfeld and Batman.
Yeah.
And it really, I guess in some ways, it really was. But
yeah.
Was that your top five, Steve?
Well, I'm just going to throw two more in there. I forgot how many I put in there, but one newer and one older. One more like in the 90s was Space Above and Beyond, which was a sci-fi with space marines. And really cool. They had some really good episodes and really good strong characters. And the way they ended the show was really iconic. I think they killed most of the cast, but it was all in this like last blast effort to finish the job that they were doing, you know, like Marines would do.
But I didn't watch the show, but that episode, from what I understand, it didn't give closure, did it?
It
was a last ditch effort to do what they were going to do, but they never really found, you never really found out if they did anything.
That ruins it for me. I haven't seen it yet, and I'm never going to see it.
You know, I'm not sure if they actually did. I think they did. I think it was sort of like a, you know, a last ditch thing that turned into a suicide, you know, a mission type of a thing, but I'm not sure what the whole thing. I'll have to go back and watch it because it was just a really great episode. And also a show that I wish they hadn't made the second season and continued on in the first season's vein was Buck Rogers back in the late 70s.
Oh yeah, Buck Rogers. Yeah, that was
because
cool.
They radically changed it.
Yeah,
they didn't think you were going to say that. I thought you were going to say what I was going to say next, but I liked the second season of Buck Rogers, actually.
Wow. Yeah.
Because they turned it into that Star Trek kind of feel where they're exploring.
Yeah.
And you had the cool guy with the hawk costume.
No, okay, my wife, she forgets what it's from, but we watched it together. Somebody got it for us as a gift. And I think it was a wedding gift or something. And all she remembers from the show is, you know how they had the one robot that's like, hey, Buck? You know, it talks like that. Hey, Buck, how you doing, Buck?
Tweaky?
Well, Tweaky, yeah.
Beady, beady, beady. What's up, Buck?
Yeah, what up? The only thing she remembers is that the episode where he finds a girl version where all she says is booty, 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 booty. So my wife will walk around and she'll start walking like the robot. Booty, 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 booty. You're like, what the heck is that?
Now, Dr. Jace, I know your wife and I'm never going to be able to see her the same.
Like, that's awesome.
I don't know if she's coming to Gideon this year, but yeah. When I see her, if she's there this summer, I'm just going to be like, oh no.
Booty, booty.
Yeah. I'll try to get her to do it because she does the little walking and everything. Because when it starts going booty, booty, she just busts out laughing and it's hilarious.
Now, Twiki was voiced by Mel Blanc, though.
Partially, but then they changed his voice at some point.
I think because Mel Blanc was getting sicker at the time, and there were a couple of times where he couldn't do it, so they had to. I think I'm not sure if he did his voice in the second season.
But they totally changed that show.
Everything
between seasons. I mean, it was
post-apocalyptic
Earth, and then it became we're exploring the galaxy in a starship.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is the main actor. I thought I'd seen him in so many other things, but he really didn't do much other than that.
No.
Gil Gerard.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
But now, okay, now I have to, you know, Steve mentioned a couple of cartoons, and I have to say, it's one thing that frustrates me is that you get a really good cartoon, and they don't, it's very rare that a cartoon, unless it's a primetime cartoon, stays around longer than 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get some really good, like the Batman animated series, and then the X-Men, and there's these really great cartoons. I actually have enjoyed the most recent of the Scooby-Doo franchise.
really?
With the Cartoon Network, the ones that are a little bit more serial-oriented. They're funnier. I think the writing is very witty. You actually have Shaggy and Velma dating. There's an undertone, a serial throughout the whole thing. Like they're trying to figure out what happened to the original Mr. Ink in this town. And it's pretty – I like it.
You know, here's the thing, though. I think this is what attracts a lot of – for some reason, sci-fi concepts, and then for you know, because of that, sci-fi fans is that serial feel. Yeah. And that's where you know I had two shows that I wrote down. One of them, you're not going to guess the one, but you'll guess the other.
I know what the one is. Yeah,
We'll get to that in a minute. But one is the '70s version. Well, I guess there was only the '70s version, but the the television version of Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed that. Now, I didn't watch it when it was originally aired. I think it was, you know, I would have been 2 or something like
that. Yeah, it was like 1974.
I got the DVD because I love
Planet of the Apes. He was a teenager at the time.
But yeah, I was growing a beard.
but that was decent. But then they had a cartoon series as well. And the cartoon series was very serialized. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
These characters, you know, they're stuck on the Planet of the Apes, and they actually seemed like they were heading in a direction where they could have gotten
Ben, home. Are you let me ask you this, Ben. Yeah. Because you keep mentioning Planet of the Apes. When we had Mark Christopher Lawrence on, you were like, thrilled about it. Is Planet of the Apes like one of your top 5 franchises?
It really is. I really like the Planet of the Apes franchise.
Okay, because you mentioned it a lot.
Yeah. And okay, so here's another one. This is where I thought that Steve was going, and because this is another one where the second season, if you want to call it that, was really different, and that was the original Battlestar Galactica, which was a cheesy Star Wars ripoff, but it was on TV every week, and that's why I liked it, because it was a cheesy Star Wars ripoff on TV every week. And after the last episode of Battlestar Galactica, which in the last episode, you know, they're trying to find Earth, they actually get a signal from Earth.
Yeah.
That it's one of those things where the signal comes in just as, you know.
Can I stop you, Ben?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be starting. I've not seen the original, so I don't want to know.
This doesn't give away anything because it's something that doesn't affect the characters at all. It's just a little like twist at the end that, oh, look, they just missed seeing it, you know. I'm not going to give away some of the cool stuff that happens when they, you know, meet the different people from different places. But then they went on to do Galactica 1980. All right. Now, Galactica 1980 there was a lot of problems. And part of it was they were on Sunday at 7 o'clock, which was family hour. So it had to be educational. So every 15 minutes had to have some sort of educational component. And maybe that was they were scanning Earth and said, well, it's got da-da-da percent of oxygen. There's your education.
Gosh, that sounds like a Jules Verne novel.
And then the other problem was a lot of budget problems. Plus, they had to get rid of all of the main actors. They kept Lauren Green, and they referenced Starbuck and Apollo and everybody right. like that.
Yeah, it was the second generation.
Yeah, it really was a kid's show suddenly. Now, as a kid, I didn't mind it, but as an adult, it doesn't hold up well. The first three episodes of that series were time-traveling things, though, which I thought was cool. The last episode of that series, and this, Dr. Jace, you're going to want to watch the last episode of Galactica 1980 for one reason, and that's that it actually tells you what happens to Starbuck. The series doesn't really explain a lot, but you get a final Starbuck episode.
Okay.
And it's cool.
There are two shows, Ben, one of which I know is on your list.
Yes.
The other one, I don't think either of you have on your list, but I have on my list.
Okay, well, let's go with the one. Well, you choose. Go for it.
I'm going to go with the one that I know is on your list.
All right, do it.
And that's Stargate Universe.
You know it. Yep.
Yeah. I knew that you're going to go there eventually.
Yeah, I have to. Because, and you and I are both fans of that show.
Yeah.
Steve, I don't know. Did you watch that at all?
I never got into the Stargate thing. I enjoyed the movie for what it was, but I just never got into the TV stuff. Yeah. It was one of those types of things where my problem with episodic, with serial television is... And it's just this, you know, I've gotten into so many shows and invested my time and energy, and either one or the other thing happens. It just goes horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And I've wasted all my time and energy.
Star Trek Voyager.
Heroes. Or they cancel it. And
right.
You're just like, you're left hanging. You know, what do you do? Man. The fan fiction? I mean, it's...
No wonder... You stick to books because Steve takes it personally. I mean, he gets so – he's like, you just canceled my show. You might as well just have stolen my baby or something.
But let's talk about that fandom though, because here's the deal with Stargate. Now, a Stargate fan, really, I can't imagine how you have any room to complain. With Stargate, you have 10 seasons of the original series.
Which is more of an episodic style.
You have 5 seasons of Atlantis, which is
– episodic.
But – halfway between. And then you have 2 seasons of Universe. Now that's 17 seasons of a franchise.
Which is a serial format.
Right. But that's 17 seasons of a franchise.
Yeah, but if you were an Atlantis fan, then you'd upset because you wanted another 5. You know, the reason...
Well, Atlantis was canceled because it was making room for Universe.
Well, because they keep doing that. If like with SG-1, they could make... Atlantis for cheaper, so they went there. And then with Atlantis, they did the same thing. They could go SGU for cheaper. Yeah. And that one only lasted 2 seasons.
Well, and that's the thing, is with it, it was more of a serialized thing. It was really, you could see the heavy influence from Battlestar Galactica and from Lost and from those types of shows.
Yeah.
But it got canceled. You know, they hardly even got into the story they wanted to tell, and it got canceled. And it ends on a cliffhanger.
And it is an excellent cliffhanger.
However, I also think in some ways it's an excellent ending. Just the way that the cliffhanger is structured.
Because it's one of the,
the adventure goes on, or the journey goes on.
If you judge endings by that you go to bed at night and you can never go to sleep because you're wondering, geez, what happened to all these guys? Then yeah, it's a great ending. If you want closure, then it's a horrible ending.
Totally. Well, yes and no. But yeah, and the difference between like, Firefly and Universe, Stargate Universe, is Firefly was more episodic. They were building a mythology in the background, but it was more episodic, and you didn't get to the end of the season and feel, oh, well, where does this go? In fact, the movie, I didn't know where it was going to go when they did the movie, because it basically took the next 3 seasons that would have been and put it into a 2-hour movie. And it's the same with Star Trek. You know, the original series, well, in Next Generation and Voyager 2, but with the original series, those were episodes. And so you have an ending to every one of those original episodes. There's an ending, and you don't think, oh, what happens next with these guys? But with Universe, Stargate Universe, man, you really do. Like, what happens next with these guys?
Well, especially because Eli is such a, if there was ever a character where the average sci-fi geek could relate to, it was Eli.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're like, what's going on with Eli? What's going to happen to him? You could care less about, but you know, I mean, you've got, what's his name? Robert Carlyle. He's on Once Upon a Time playing Rumpelstiltskin. So they're never going to go back to that show unless they do it. You know, I don't even think they're going to be able to do a movie because they scrapped all the sets.
Yeah, they struck all the sets and they sold all the props from Atlantis. Wow. And I mean, their whole plan was they were going to do, another Stargate SG-1 movie that would focus on Richard Dean Anderson's character.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get much play in the two movies that they did do. There's going to be a third Stargate SG-1 movie. There was going to be a Stargate Atlantis movie because that Stargate Atlantis ends somewhat satisfying, but at the same time, it kind of ends on a cliffhanger too. You don't get closure with the main threat that you've had for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And then you have Stargate Universe that they were going to do when it was canceled. They just said, well, we're going to try and get funding to do one final wrap-up movie. And when that happened, they realized we're going to have to do all of our wrap-up. And yeah. I think they were trying to come up with like a story. And I could, you know, I was thinking, what kind of story could they do that would wrap up Atlantis and SG-1? And, you know, and basically they would do a rescue where all of the characters from the other series have to rescue the people from Stargate Universe or something like that. And
yeah, but that'd be messy. There's so many characters.
You're talking a miniseries then.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is all the stuff is gone. All the props are gone. All the sets are gone. And there really is no chance.
Yeah. I was upset with Stargate Atlantis because they killed off my favorite character.
In Sunday?
The Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so out of left field.
Yeah, it was completely random, and he was. I was hacked off. I'll be honest, I was not happy.
You know what bothered me more about that though. Sorry, Steve, that Stargate geeking out here, but okay. What bothered me I'll more than nap. That was they brought Wake him up, back as a different character.
What? Say that again.
They brought him back.
Yeah,
as that what clone or whatever, and I can't. I don't like it when they then that cheapens the whole.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't death feel
of the character, but
yeah. Because they didn't have the relational connection or anything like that.
But here's, I mean, it comes down to they weren't getting the viewers that they thought they were going to get. But they had a 2-season commitment. And so Sci-Fi Network had to go through with their 2-season commitment, which they wouldn't have done if it wasn't like, you know, more expensive to lose it or something. And so they got, and the other thing is Sci-Fi Network is owned by NBC.
Yeah.
And so now they're focusing on that Battlestar Galactica franchise, and they're trying to do like a TV movie for Battlestar Galactica, which Battlestar Galactica, the series, was perfect as far as length. 4 seasons, complete thing is done. They did a TV movie afterward that they shouldn't have done because it totally undermines the rest of the series. And then they did the Caprica prequel series. That's nice, but that's owned... Those are owned by NBC. And so you have NBC Sci-Fi with NBC's Battlestar Galactica instead of MGM, which owns Stargate, and they have to pay extra for Stargate. And that's my theory anyways, that they were going to stick with the franchise they owned.
I do hope that, you know, I'd like to see some more Stargate eventually because I really did enjoy that. But there's one show on my list that no one's mentioned, and I would be... It's a show that when I first saw it, when it was first on television, I actually didn't care for it. But when I went back on DVDs and actually watched it all the way through, and when it ended, I was so hacked off that it didn't continue because I wasn't able to watch this original. And that is Earth 2.
Earth 2. You know what? I thought of it but didn't put it on my list.
I never I watched like an episode, and then I'm like, oh, you know, because it's serial, so I didn't know what was going on. But when I actually watched the whole show from front to back, and it just ends, and you're like, wait a minute, I want to know what happens to this group. Like, what happened to them?
You know, Earth 2 was another one that got, I don't know if it got, like, moved around on the schedule, but the episode order got shuffled.
It was totally messed up.
When it was aired.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense, because it was more of a serialized type of show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So
it definitely was.
A lot of shows get the shuffle. know, when it gets put on TV. It's just, it depends on, you know, what they think is, you know, we need an action show to put on Friday night because, you know, whatever, you know, we're losing the viewership, so we got to put on something with the love interest or something. You know, it's always crazy decisions, especially when you have something that's it's a serial and you look at it out of context and you look at the episodes out of serial and you're just sort of like, why did they do that? But
well, and so here's my question. I'm wondering, because you also have some series that get to have an ending. You know, you get the movie for Firefly and you get Galactica 1980 for Battlestar Galactica. Oh, you know, 'cause Battlestar Galactica, the whole thing is about finding Earth. And then Galactica 80, oops, yep, guess what? We found it. We're not going to tell you exactly, you know, how or whatever, but we're there. You know, it's just like, okay. Yeah.
And, found Earth, everybody.
You know, so you get some endings, but then you have these other shows where you just don't. And then you have other shows like Star Trek. Did you need a Star Trek the Motion Picture? And I know Dr. Jace has answered that.
Yeah, I could have worked with. I wish I got the 50 minutes back where I keep seeing the stupid shit. The opening is like forever long.
But don't you get it? I mean, here yeah, are, and you haven't seen Star Trek on, you know, screen anywhere, and you have this beautiful ship that they've built.
50 minutes.
Well, we'll fight about it another day.
With no dialogue. I was bored. I saw the same hole 25 times from various angles. I don't care. Give me some dialogue. Give me some action. Give me something.
Well, they were obviously going for more of the less the Star Wars and more of the 2001 sci-fi with that.
Hey, but I've got an idea. Let's save money by showing the same thing over and over and over again.
Yes, yeah, but at its time. Oh, Battlestar Galactica just reused all the shots.
I know, every single shot.
Hey, we've already done this fight scene, so we'll just show it again in the next 5 episodes.
I mean, it was like a drinking game, you know. It's like every time you see that shot, you take another shot of, you know, hot chocolate or whatever you're drinking at the time. I mean, I was not old enough to drink, so.
But budget aside, and boring effects aside, you know, you didn't need Star Trek the Motion Picture because you didn't feel like, oh, where are these characters going to go? But you got some interesting stuff with that. Because of Star Trek the Motion Picture, you got Star Trek II, which gets in some really good character with, we're getting old, we used to be heroes, we used to be hotshots, we used to be cowboys, and now look at us. And you got some interesting stuff. So I'm just wondering, you know, is that the problem, that we didn't get an ending to these shows? Or is it that we want to spend time with these characters?
I mean, sometimes it's the ending, but, you know, I look at some of the crap that's on television today, and I would rather have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7s of Firefly, Stargate Universe, and some of these other shows than some of the junk that's on television right now. So, yeah. You know, that's part of it. I think for me, I like to know, I guess, how it ends is important, but the truth is most endings are kind of a letdown. So I like the journey. I just want more episodes to be able to go back and connect with the characters.
I don't know about that.
Well, but, you know, Dr. Jace, that's what attracted you to, like, going back to our Star Wars conversation, what attracted you to the original trilogy, especially when you get into, like, Empire Strikes Back, is you know these guys. Yeah, you're spending exactly. time with characters that you like.
Yeah.
And I kind of had that with Stargate Universe, although a lot of people I know didn't like the characters because
it was more of a people who liked Stargate didn't like Stargate Universe because it was more of a soap opera
and it was much darker. It wasn't a space opera, it was a soap opera.
Yeah. I thought they did a great job for what the show was as far as the drama, the relationships. You know, yes, could they have pushed it a little bit further and had a little bit more focus on the Stargate itself and not just the yeah, but that wasn't what the show was. But to me, I mean, as Steve said, whatever, for me, the endings, usually endings are not very satisfying. So I have to enjoy the journey. And that's what, actually, Steven mentioned this earlier, the television show Heroes. For me, it started off super strong, and then it was the super lead balloon dud towards the end. And, you know, they made a cardinal, huge mistake. I think, and it's the reason why that show ended too soon, was they made one of their best characters, Siler, who was a creepy bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was so popular that instead of making him a reoccurring character every so often, they made him a primary character, which mm-hmm. totally took away from the weight of his character. So Heroes, and the other thing, NBC has a track record of throwing a lot of their agendas in shows and ruining them. And so it happens with Glee, it happens with all sorts of shows. NBC hasn't really figured out to make a good show and stop putting agendas in the shows. But Heroes, I wish they would have kept to, because that show had all the potential in the world.
I don't know. I started seeing cracks in the veneer in Heroes very early on. When they set up certain characters, they set them up in such a way that I'm going to forget people's names, but the Indian gentleman, the professor, he's teaching in his class, and he says, something to the effect of, scientists say we only use 10% of our brain. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so this guy's going to be sort of like the dopey professor who doesn't know anything about how brain activity works and stuff like that.
The whole save the cheerleader, you save the world.
Yeah.
I was a Heroes cheerleader, and they did not save me at all. Stuck by Heroes through season one and said, it's I like this, it's going to get better. Season two, I liked where it was going, but it got cut short because of the writer's strike. I said, it's okay. Season three, I'm sticking with it, and I'm telling people, you should keep watching it. It's going to – and then I realized I am leading cheers for a horrible show. It just got bad, and it tried to get better, and it almost did, and that whole carnival thing was interesting. But then, you get that ending, and it's just like, all right. I guess we're done now, and it's not going to come back. And I was not sad to see that one go.
I got to halfway through the first season, and I was realizing that I was putting my time and energy into something that was going nowhere. And I finished watching this the season, and it.
It really did go.
It ended so incredibly. I mean, it's been out there long enough that I'm not going to be ruining it for anybody. But to have a character who can fly, or at least he has the power to get himself away from everybody, he doesn't get himself away from everybody and sacrifices his brother to get him away from everybody so he can explode, so he can, not destroy everybody. And also he gives a teenager a gun and tells the teenager, who has the closest emotional tie to him, to kill him if he gets too close to something. And then, of course, she doesn't do that. And his brother has to take him up there, and the thing explodes, and who knows what happens to them. And then the idiots... I mean, the entire thing is Siler is still there. He's still alive. And the episode ends and you see Siler has gotten away. Of all the things that they could not let happen, they let him get away. I mean, and it seems like nobody is really that concerned about it. And it's just, I was like, no, no way. No, 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 no. This is impossible.
Well, I wish that they, with Heroes, had done what their original thinking was, and that was each season was actually a different cast of characters with maybe a couple from the previous season. Right. But the problem was they killed off some characters that proved to be popular, mm-hmm. and they had, Siler, or is it Siler?
Yeah, Siler.
That became popular, and
they kept bringing him back, which kind of watered down his character.
The whole show is just watered down. That's a good description for...
The one season, I believe it was the third one with all the carnival stuff. Was it that one?
Was it the third or fourth?
Was it four, one of them? That started off, and I'm thinking, oh, this has tons of potential with the carnival. And then it was so anticlimactic that it was, by the time that they said that they weren't renewing the show, I wasn't even upset. And
no,
that
I was totally,
show,
yeah.
Because that was a show that I liked a lot, but they had ruined it so many times. And there were certain characters I liked a lot.
Like here.
Yeah, Hero was great. And I like the horned-rimmed glasses guy, Noah. I like the two brothers. I like those relationships, the whole family dynamic between the two brothers and their mom.
Well, the whole family dynamic of every I mean, everyone seemed to be interconnected.
Yeah.
That was a really early on, that was one of the huge selling points of it, because it just had this interconnected feel to the whole thing, and you're like, it's almost comfortable.
You know? Almost, yeah.
Almost, and the fun thing was, it was almost comfortable, but some of the bad guys were that comfortable too. You have this comfortable relationship between two people who shouldn't be uncomfortable, and it causes all that friction, all that, you know, stuff behind the scenes. So there was some really interesting stuff going on, but they just dropped the ball continually. I mean, just every single I was pouring over each episode, watching it more than once, you know, before the next episode came on, just to make sure that I'm getting, you know, all the stuff. And I was listening to podcasts, you know, all that stuff, just to get the whole deep story to this whole thing. And they would continually drop the ball on things. Some writers would talk about faith and talk about, you know, a person's faith, and then the next episode, nothing. The next three episodes, nothing.
Steve, I'm glad, Steve, that you have faith. I'm glad you're a Christian, because I have this picture of you that if you weren't saved, that you would enter a world of fantasy, like 24/7, and never come out of it. That you create your own religion and languages, and that the moment that they have a bad episode, you'd be like, your identity would be shattered.
I would be a terrible, terrible, awful, terrible person without Christ. I have to say that.
Well, using here, what? Oh, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, I mean, you like get, you watch, I've watched that 500 times, and there are 31
but this, mistakes. But this after saying, well, you know, halfway through the season, I realized this isn't really going anywhere. But I rewatched every episode catch it. But, so using heroes as our jumping off point into this next question, we're not going to take as much time on this, but can you think of any series that lasted way too long?
Oh, easy. One of my favorite TV shows ever, but it lasted about three seasons too long. And that's X-Files.
X-Files. Yep.
X-Files was my show. I mean, Twilight Zone may be my favorite show of all time, and X-Files was like the closest thing of recent memory that even got in the ballpark of Twilight Zone. So I really loved the X-Files.
So out of curiosity, just as a side note, do you watch Fringe at all?
You know, I started the first season, but after 8-9 episodes, it just lost me. I heard that it got better. See, I was in Los Angeles at the time, so I was aware that the show was struggling and that J.J. Abrams had to come back to kind of retool it. So when I heard that, I knew, because I was like in episode 6 or something, and I knew that that he didn't get in there until like episode 12 or 13. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I'm thinking, oh, well, the episodes probably stink really bad. It probably will get better when he comes back, but I don't want to invest that until I know.
I just found it interesting that it's still around, because that's one that I expected to go away.
Yeah,
a long time ago. And it's,
is that with Fox too?
Yeah, that's on Fox.
How do they keep Fringe and lose Firefly?
Well, I mean, it's different. I mean, we're talking years in between. There's different people in charge, but
hey, don't rationalize it. Don't make it logical. I want to speak from pure emotion right now.
Well, back to another Fox series then, with X-Files. All right, and you said it lasted maybe three seasons too long. See, those three seasons, I really wasn't watching at the end.
Right. Yeah.
And I've gone back now. I've got a couple box sets of DVDs that are just the mythology episodes throughout the series, so I don't have to watch all 250 or however many there are. I can just watch the important ones.
I don't know how you do X-Files without, you know, Mulder. I mean, it's all originally around him.
Yeah.
Because, well, didn't the way they tried to do it, wasn't it that they were looking for Mulder?
Yeah,
like, I mean, okay, he's not here, and we can only get him for a week to film, so we're going to add in, we're going to film his 3-minute scene for every episode for the season.
I mean, they did okay. It's not like, you know, Bewitched, where they replaced an actor and made you believe, hey, it's the same person. It's not like that. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, X-Files, it wasn't a stinker, but it just was not the same show.
Yeah, and that's definitely the one I would choose.
Yeah.
You know, you're asking if they go too long. I don't know about you, but for me, whether or not I want to see more episodes after a show has completely finished, I think depends on the ending. Because, you know, like Stargate, they could, SG-1 could make a million movies, and I would watch them because, you know, the ending was not, didn't have the finality to it, like, say, Lost. Lost, if they did a Lost TV movie, it would be ridiculous because of the ending, which I don't want to give away for those who haven't seen it. But
Lost has one ending and one storyline that is Lost, whereas Stargate has multiple storylines, and they can do that because it's meant to be that way.
Yeah.
Well, and Lost is another one that perfect. And for me, when they announced that they were going to do this many episodes more and no more than that, it was kind of nice.
They said 7 seasons, because then I think they announced that after season 4, because then you're like, well, we have 3 seasons.
Yeah, and even though they were shorter seasons, it was okay because you knew they committed to finishing it, and they had also committed to not stretching it out, and there wasn't going to be any filler. As they were traveling now this journey, they were going to take every episode and make it count toward getting to that ending.
Yeah.
Even then, I did feel the ending felt a little rushed in some ways when they got to the last few episodes of the series. But still, a great, satisfying, to me, satisfying series. So here's a question for you guys as fans. And this came out of seeing a lot of reaction to Stargate Universe. Do these corporations that make this kind of programming owe us anything? When they start a story, do they owe us an ending? Because we're watching the advertisements, you know, we're buying the products.
Yeah, they don't owe us anything.
Don't think so?
No, it's all bottom line for them. You know, if it's not making money, it doesn't matter if it's going to make money next year. It doesn't matter. They want it to make money now. So,
from their point of view, they don't owe us anything, but what do you think? Because I saw a lot of people say they have betrayed us with Stargate. I was listening to a single podcast and looking at message boards with Stargate. And when I didn't post on the message board, but when it came around, and these diehard fans, they took it very personally, as if it was against them.
Well, I just think that too many times the money people end up ruining the product. And because most of the time, they want to try to make the show as wide as possible to attract as many viewers as possible, which,
right.
But you know, like even with Firefly and with other shows, these people constantly try to push the creatives to do stories and change their characters to things that they don't want. So, you know, they kind of get in the way sometimes, but I mean, Steve's right. They're there to make money. The problem is that if they're there to make money, why do you waste all of this time, energy, and money to put a show and then change the times where the people can't follow it at all? Why it's more expensive to not give a show a chance than to do a whole nother show, go through pilot season, and then try that one too.
See, I think you're looking at it in the way that a viewer would look at it. You're saying, you know, why are they putting it on at a time where I can't see it, et cetera, et cetera. From their viewpoint, they're putting it on at a time where, you know, the advertising that they're getting is, you know, being able to do this and that, and the budget concern that they had is being taken care of.
That's actually not totally true, because most of the sci-fi shows, the reason why they end up on Fridays is because that is the lowest, you know, the money days are Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Mondays, the low days are Fridays. This is why sci-fi ends up on Fridays a lot, because of the demographic they get. What I'm saying is that from a production standpoint, because I know I've been there when they've done pilot season and such, it costs more money for them to order up 5 to 7 more pilots that may or may not end up see the light of air, and so it costs more money. Whereas if you were to give a show a consistent time, it would cost you less money. You know,
because you've already got the actors in place, you've already got the sets built, and you've got the virtual CGI sets built. I mean, that money has already been spent.
Well, that, and I'll give you one show that never was shown, and it should have made it, because if you've ever saw the pilot, it was pretty good. So if we're talking about shows canceled too early, this would be one of them, was Aquaman.
I was going to say that. I can't believe that you said that.
Yeah, Aquaman.
I was going to say it as a joke.
I can't believe it's an hour long into the show, and you haven't brought it up yet, Ben.
Well, I tell you, Steve, I get grief for some of my geek likes, and Aquaman, though, is one that Dr. Jason and I share. We both like Aquaman, right?
Yeah.
And that was a great pilot, too.
The pilot was amazing, but, you know, because of various reasons, I think they're afraid of it competing with Smallville. Did you hear anything else? What was the other issues why it didn't take?
I think part of it was Aquaman. I mean, honestly, he was a popular character on Smallville, but I don't think that they had enough faith to say, well, we'll give it a try. But then when they got the final product, I think they were kind of saying, well, this is Smallville. And there's some awesome shots in that show, man.
Didn't they change the Aquaman character? Didn't they change the actor?
They did. The guy playing Aquaman is Green Arrow on Smallville. Yeah. And not the same guy who played Aquaman on Smallville, who I didn't really like him that much.
Do you think that fed into why it didn't go over as well as a pilot?
I don't think people would have cared. No. They changed people.
No.
Because it wasn't meant to be the same guy.
Yeah.
Which is another problem, maybe, that they kind of faced, was that this is a little confusing.
Got it.
They are preparing another pilot for a Green Arrow series that's not based on the Smallville Green Arrow. But the CW is doing the pilot right now.
It's interesting.
Mailbag.
It's time to get into our listener feedback. And
mailbag.
I did want to do final word, but
mailbag.
You know, whatever.
Mailbag. The final word is mailbag.
Let's see. Feedback. Well, we got some listener feedback about this topic, because I put something out on Facebook and a couple other places, trying to get some feedback from you, the listener, before you had a chance to listen to this episode. And we have a couple messages here. Do you guys have that in front of you?
I do.
I think I deleted it.
Okay. Well, it was an email from me, and so I know you kind of delete those sight unseen sometimes.
Yeah.
But,
from Ben.
I've got like 20 of them from you today.
So, Steve, I'll go ahead and read one of these here. I was going to read the one from C. Suba Reyes.
I said
her name wrong. But,
that's the queen.
Yeah, she's a comic book friend of ours. She said, WB's Tarzan. I love that show and even fought to save it. We made The Hollywood Reporter because of our efforts. Come to think of it, WB canceled a lot of good TV series. Tarzan, Birds of Prey, sheesh. Well, we sent emails, letters, and phone calls. After that, we then paid for a full-page ad in the paper, along with banana and nut baskets, to the studios. They canceled anyway, but at least called the actors back to film the last episode and actually finish the series. Unfortunately, we found out that One Tree Hill continued on because it was cheaper to produce. That made me think of Jericho. Do you remember Jericho?
Yeah.
I remember Jericho.
That whole thing, they had season one. I was into that show. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I made sure I watched it every week, or if I didn't, I watched it online when it became available on CBS.com or whatever. And then everybody sent, you know, it was canceled. A bunch of people sent nuts to the studio execs because it went along with a story from the show. And it got renewed for, I think it was 6 extra episodes so they could finish the story.
Well, I can't say that I don't know when this actually happened, but since I ended up doing 2 episodes of One Tree Hill, I'm kind of glad that one lasted and Tarzan got deep 6 because I might not got paid.
Man, Tarzan, though. WB's Tarzan. I remember watching that and kind of liking it, but not enough to continue.
Sorry, I can't get into anybody when there's a man in a loincloth. I'll bypass that every time.
Well, he wore pants most of the time because it took place in the city. Yeah, it wasn't in the jungle.
Oh.
Lord so Greystoke.
A lot of it was him having to fit in, and you know, I made my wife watch it a couple times and she laughed at me, and then I kind of thought, you know, normally you laugh at me and I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, you just don't understand because you're not geeky enough. But
See, I'm getting it's late. I don't know when everyone's listening to this, but it's late when we're recording it. And so my picture of Steve when he's unsaved is that he's so into a mythology of a show and gets so upset when it doesn't work out. But with Ben, I just see Ben, if he wasn't saved, just moping around because he likes all the geek stuff. And whenever someone doesn't like it, I see him like kicking a can by himself, like.
Oh, yeah, you know, you just got that Charlie Brown. Yeah.
Understand me,
only the lonely.
All right. Well, we have another message here from Charles.
You want me to read that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
It says, I have two. One is a TV show, and the other is a cartoon. Number one, Dollhouse was a great show. Had a lot of great ideas, and just when it was hitting a stride, they pulled it off. Number two, Spectacular Spider-Man, and we all know why. Disney bought Marvel, but they could have kept it going. And if I can, other honorable mentions, Alias and Heroes, he says. Thanks, guys, and great podcast. God bless.
Charles, nothing against you when we were talking about Heroes, of course. But yeah, you do mention Dollhouse. Did you guys watch Dollhouse at all?
I watched the first episode and was bored out of my mind.
The first episode was not a good example of what the series should have been. The last episode is. They went some crazy places with that show in the second season, and I wish it had continued. First season, I wouldn't have cared if they had canceled it. But second season, man, it got good.
I don't know if we should allow Steve to read any more quotes from the fans, because whenever he disagrees, you can tell in his voice. he goes, Heroes. Like, there's this disdain in his voice.
Hey, Spectacular Spider-Man, by the way. Was a really good cartoon. Yeah. One of the best Spider-Man cartoons, and there have been some good stuff out there, but that was a great show. And for me, it was on regular network television Saturday mornings, but it was moved to Disney XD, and I don't have cable. So I didn't get to see the second season, but that was a good show.
It was a good re-envisioning of the whole Spider-Man mythos.
Just starting from the beginning and just building it up. And it was,
having a cohesive reason why the villains are there.
And it was very episodic. I mean, not episodic. It was a serial.
Oh, yeah.
Show. All right, we got from Jeremy Zare, who is the guy who who Steve and I actually used to host the Fanboy Tollbooth with. We're not on that anymore. But
I found the email, so I can read it.
All right, go ahead.
We miss Jeremy.
I went to the trash and found it. All right. Nice. From Jeremy. Now, and it has nothing to do with Jeremy. It's just that I got a lot of emails from Ben, and I thought this one was not important. I didn't realize we were reading it. So, now and again, a regular schmuck dies and his brain is transplanted into the body of a man created as a weapon for the United States government. Imagine that. It aired for one season and left so many unanswered questions. It's my Freaks and Geeks or Firefly. We only got one season of this show and six seasons of Nash Bridges. How is that right?
And I would agree with that.
That is an excellent point.
I like this show. And Freaks of Geeks is another one that we didn't get to mention here. But did you guys – Nash Bridges.
That's excellent.
So, all right. Well, moving on. We've got a message from Gordon, one of my friends, and he's responding actually to our response to listener feedback from our Star Wars episode. So this is actually – he's responding to listener feedback that we read in our fantasy versus sci-fi episode. He said, I listened to the podcast last night, and I'm glad you all had a chortle at my expense. And your point about both Anakin and Shmi being in slavery is valid, which we were talking about how he we were talking about. Why would she let Anakin go with anyone when that's his son? And we said, well, she was grateful because he's getting out of slavery. But Gordon goes on to say, but I also think this highlights yet another of Lucas's many failings with Phantom Menace. To me, Lucas never successfully conveyed that Shmi and Anakin were ever in any real oppression during their time as slaves. Watto could have merely been an employer for all the tension George showed. The most oppressive thing Watto ever did to Anakin was make him clean the fan switches. The Toydarian did on occasion make Anakin race his pods, but that seemed to be an activity that Anakin not only enjoyed but looked forward to. To have Shmi desperate for Anakin to be removed from his terrible lot in life, it requires that Anakin's lot in life be terrible in the first place. Instead, Anakin had a 9-to-5 job as a janitor and enough leisure time and resources to construct his very own protocol droid. even the Skywalker Living accommodations seem pretty nice in comparison to the studio apartments I have seen some of my friends suffer through. You want their life to be oppressive? Depict Shmi cleaning the cage of Gardula the Hutt's pet Rancor, while Anakin gives Gardula her daily bath and manicure. After which, at 2 o'clock in the morning, they both return to their aluminum box of a hovel, located out back next to the Gamorrean guard latrine. Then I might believe that Shmi wanted Anakin off-planet at all costs. At any rate, I don't get the impression that your co-hosts are actually defending Phantom Menace in its entirety, but I figured I'd just have to reiterate my position of Phantom having a huge chunk of bad storytelling embedded in its screenplay. I thought that was too good not to read, even though we kind of finished that conversation. That was good.
I think that what he's missing is the midichlorians really made it terrible for Anakin to do all that stuff. And it was if George had just had a couple more movies, a couple more hours to really dig into the whole midichlorian mythos
you're being a troll, man.
I blame the midichlorians.
And then we had a message from Tom, who was replying to our time travel episode, and this was a good comment. This is Tom Holst, and he's saying,
"I think I broke Jace."
Talking about time travel story. The central appeal of any time travel story is the notion of free will versus predestination. As for how much God controls our lives, I like what C.S. Lewis said via the character of Screwtape. Seeing something happen is not the same thing as making it happen. God knows what our decisions will be, based on all possibilities, from his perspective outside of time, and can make his decisions about what to do from that vantage point without ever manipulating us. Of course, it's easier to understand in the abstract than it is sometimes in day-to-day struggles. But there are my thoughts on the matter, for whatever they're worth. Anyway, back to the episode. I'm very surprised nobody mentioned arguably the most famous time traveler of all, Doctor Who. 1963 to 89, 2005 to present. It's true that he also travels in space, but his species is called Time Lord, after all, not Space Lord. You have Doctor Who on your poll of favorite franchises, so I assume that the lack of a mention was simple forgetfulness, which is fine, because I've definitely been there before. And he's right. We totally dropped the ball on that.
I don't know if it was forgetfulness or if – I mean, I don't think
– It was on my part.
I don't think if any of us have the background to speak cogently about Doctor Who.
We should have brought him up, man.
It would be a really good episode to have if we know someone or can get someone who has a deeper understanding of Doctor Who, and we can sort of come at them with, you know, some deeper questions and some queries and stuff. I think that would be a really good episode to sort of have like a standalone Doctor Who episode with an expert.
Tom continues, I was also hoping for a mention of Quantum Leap, but oh well, again, we should have.
Yeah, okay. No, Quantum Leap is one of my favorites.
Yeah,
so
right. We really dropped the ball there.
Wow.
And here is another one that we dropped the ball on, which I can't believe I didn't bring this up because this goes on my list of favorite time travel stories ever. Another famous one is the 1983 film Time Bandits.
Yeah, that one I've watched 3 times and I still hate it.
Oh, really? But yeah. Because the film portrays God as an incompetent, stuffy bureaucrat and the devil is much more clever than anyone else, not to mention its nihilistic ending, I can't say that I recommend it. Yeah. I would say I recommend it because of the nihilistic ending. Just to get to the punchline. Anyway. I do, however, recommend 12 Monkeys, a 1995 film by the same director, Terry Gilliam. Bruce Willis is a prisoner sent back in time to find out why society collapsed, but he can't stop bouncing randomly around in time. While the ending is just as dark as Time Bandits in its own way, everything that happens makes sense and comes full circle in the end, giving the sense of a universe, a created one I would add, that makes sense and has order and form to it no matter how much its inhabitants mess it up. Another, I love that movie. I love Terry Gilliam, really, anything he does. Except for there's one movie that I probably won't love that I haven't seen. So he then, going into our topic for the day, I also recommend Daybreak, Tom says. A 13-episode series now available on DVD about a guy stuck reliving the same day over and over again so that he can solve a murder. It's basically Groundhog Day, played for suspense instead of comedy. It's terrific, and most of the questions are answered before the show is canceled all too early. Now, this last bit here is kind of our last bit for the show from Tom's email, and I wanted us to kind of address this. He says, at any rate, I'm really surprised that all of you come from perspectives where your lives are mostly great now, so your answers to would you go back and change anything in your past come from that perspective. I mean, I'm glad for you, but that's not my perspective at all. I'm 37, unemployed, I've been single for decades, and I live at home with my parents. All I can think about are the things I go back and change. I guess that's a big part of the appeal of the time travel story for me. Anyway, I don't mean to depress you all, I just wanted to express how fascinating I found your perspectives to be. Thanks again for the entertaining show, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, as far as that last part, I think I did say that I would go back and change something. I didn't know
your hair.
Yeah,
the mullet. The mullet.
Yeah. I remember that now. The mullet. Yeah, I definitely. But you know, that.
Business up front, party in the back.
Yeah, I was talking with a friend though, about because I'm in a situation right now where I'm writing books and actually having something of a successful career writing my comic books and that. But I'm also working part-time as a janitor at my church, cleaning toilets and stuff like that, which is not what I would choose. However, one of the reasons I'm in this situation of being a janitor is I quit my day job as a teacher to write full-time, which lasted for a while and lasted well for a while. But I was writing for a company that had me on salary with insurance and everything and ran out of work after 2 years. And so moved on to become freelance 100%. And I sometimes look back at my decision to stop teaching with a little bit of regret. However, if I had not done that, I wouldn't be writing some of the books that I'm writing right now. And I probably wouldn't be working with some of the people I'm working with right now. And I also wouldn't, because of the what they call the butterfly effect, I wouldn't have my one-year-old son. Because this kind of gets into the, you know, the birds and the bees. But when you think of all the possibilities, I have a son who was born since, you know, after I quit that teaching job. And if I'd stuck with that job, we would have had a different life. And we might have still had another child, but it would have been a different child. In the situation that, yeah, there's things I would change, but there are other things, and in this case, it's children. And once you throw children into the mix, I think you get more soft as far as would I change everything. Yeah, if I could have my teaching job and my children, maybe I would, or maybe not. I don't know. But
I think to me, anyway, it breaks down to two different paths. You know, basically, I would not want to change the person that I am now, the stuff that is going on in my life. I wouldn't want to change it. Even if they said, you know, you could have $1 million on top of it. Okay. Well, that'd be nice. I mean, it would solve some financial problems or whatever, but you know, it's not like I need $1 million, and $1 million would have to come from somewhere else, et cetera, et cetera. So I wouldn't want to take that chance of changing core things in my life, like, you know, my kids or my wife, or, you know, even my spiritual life or something like that. And you could argue it another way and say, well, if everything still turned out the same way, what would you go back and change? And I, you know, you think to yourself, well, there's a lot that I could change, but if everything turns out the same way, then what would the use be? You know, it's a useless argument to me anyway. So, I mean, I look at it in two different ways. I mean,
if I could do an a la carte and pick the things that could stay the same and then go back and change the things that I wouldn't mind changing and get the best of both worlds, then, you know, that's what I figure. If you go back in time and you figure enough and you chart it out and figure out which decisions affect the big ones, you could maybe create a science that way. But that's really boring, nerdy stuff. But
there could be an interesting story in that, though, where you have someone who's trying to cherry pick and still end up with the same results. Like, okay, this is what I like and this is what I want to keep. Right. And so what of that do I have to sacrifice to make it be this more ideal situation?
Exactly.
It could be an interesting story.
It's my story idea, so copyright.
But it turns into sort of like a Back to the Future type thing where, you know, at the end of Back to the Future, he is living a life that his personal being never lived. So at some point, his parents are going to ask him a question about something that happened in his past or something, and he's not going to know because that's not the life he lived. He lived that other whole life, and now he has this other thing going on, and you're like, well, it would break down to a point where his parents would start to think he's a little crazy.
You know, the more I think about Back to the Future, the more I'm wondering, does this not hold up to scrutiny? Because I think I look at Back to the Future now and think this is really a product of the 80s. Because what is his perfect life for Marty McFly? A truck and wealthy family. You know, it's like that 80s, you know, Wall Street mentality. On the other hand, it's a lot of fun. So I haven't watched Back to the Future 1, 2, or 3 in years now.
You have to look. See, this is the thing. And this is, I think, where Steve and I would greatly differ, is that you have to look at each story like Back to the Future as what it is. It's not a logical show. And that's why I like to take shows at what they are. There are certain shows that take themselves seriously, certain movies that are a little bit more smart, so to speak. So for those shows, I judge it a little bit more on content as far as continuity and does it make logical sense. For Back to the Future, it's just a fun blockbuster. I'm not going to analyze it to the nth degree because that's not the type of movie that it is. It's just a goofy, fun movie.
But it's a tight, goofy, fun movie. It's Back to the Future is a great example of if you put a gun on the wall in the first act, you better use it in the third.
Yeah.
Every single thing that they mention in the first 10 minutes of that movie gets referenced and used later in the movie to make the plot happen.
Yeah.
You know, well, there's your uncle. You know, he's imprisoned again. Well, you see him later on. It's a lot of it is joke payoff. It's a comedy. It really is. And so you can't really hold up to that scientific scrutiny. But but then when you do start thinking about these bigger ideas, though, when you were looking at that movie. So, well, guys, it's been fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. And, you know, I do recommend some of these series we've talked about. I do recommend, like, Babylon 5,
Stargate
Universe, Firefly. A lot of these shows, except for Mrs. Defiant Science, which I don't even know if that's available anywhere. But these shows are available, you know, Netflix,
Steve has it in his garage somewhere.
I got the VHS. I'm still running the VHS. It all sounds like this right now. But it's awesome.
Or you can watch it on Netflix and not get that. But
one or the other.
But a lot of these shows that we talked about, I think they appeal to us because they do have more meat to them than some shows might have. And I think we could devote like an episode to Firefly. And there's a lot of different themes and ideas floating around in those series. And some of them did get, you know, that ending. And that's what I appreciate about things like that, is I like a good ending.
I have the feeling that if the ending isn't good, then the journey has been a waste. So if I had a great time on the journey, but the ending is really bad, then it just resets the entire journey as bad as well.
And my example for that is Star Trek Voyager. I hated that ending.
Oh, don't tell me. I have not seen the ending. I'm watching them through now.
I'm not. I won't tell you. There's some. When you get to the final episode, it's a good story. Well, I can't say anymore. I've already said too much.
Yes.
Deep Space Nine is different. Deep Space Nine, for me, I get to the ending of that, and I'm like, okay, we get a good ending here. And it takes the themes and wraps them up with a nice bow. And so I want to give you a little teaser for our next episode. Dr. Jace is going to speak to you in the language of our next topic, and I will translate. Dr. Jace? He says, join us next week for... zombies. We are going to be talking about zombies, and this will be our next regular episode, actually, because we are doing an interview between now and then with a science fiction author. But
Password is zombies.
We'll be talking zombies, and I thought we'd let Dr. Jace do that because he kind of is a zombie right now. So with that, I am Ben Avery saying goodbye.
I'm Dr. Jace. I'm going to bed.
And I am Steve McDonald. I still have 2 hours left on my 5-hour energy, so I'm still rocking it.
All you strangers and aliens, stay strange and don't alienate yourself. We got to work on our tagline there. You've been listening to the Strangers and Aliens podcast, hosted by Ben Avery, Dr. Jace O'Neill, and Steve McDonald. Our music was composed and mixed by Tim Leffel. We invite you to join the conversation by visiting our website, www.strangersandaliens.com, where you'll find show notes, articles, reviews, and more. You can also follow us on Twitter, where we are at Strange and Alien, or like us on our Facebook page. If you'd like to email us directly, our email is podcast@strangersandaliens.com. And once again, thanks for listening.
Yeah, let's go. My hit up.
Beady, beady, beady. What's up, yeah. Mike?